Okay, good morning, and happy New Year, and a very good old year we had, and I just thought I would play that song, When We Get Married. As you know, this morning, or today, earlier today, there was the legal civil unions here in the state of Hawaii, and for those of you that care and like to see positive things occur while you exist on this planet, well, I would say that, in my opinion, I felt that we've come a long way in allowing not to give people their rights, because people have rights anyway, naturally. But I guess the act, the law, respects that right and acknowledges that right. So last night or this morning, there was in the Aina Haina area, there was a actual gathering. Four couples were able to wed in a civil union, and as some describe it, this is just the first step. It's not marriage, but this is the first step. And if you would like to call in and comment on, share your thoughts and your appreciation for what happens to see a democracy working. And some of you, I know, I've heard some of the rhetoric, and it really isn't a democracy unless we do it your way and the way your religious belief do it. And so anyway, but it was very good and a good feeling about it, to see people doing what it is that they have a right to do. And there was one male couple and three female couples that were wedded. And I'd like to just say I believe that their life will be a lot better, and for legal purposes and all. And isn't it just fair to be able to do and have whomever you wish in your life without the input or the scrutiny of other individuals with various beliefs. But the actual civil union ceremony preparations and all, it all occurred, and there was an actual online licensing there, and there was it was officiated or by Reverend Kyle Lovett, Reverend Dr. Jonaper Kwong, and Reverend Pam Vessels. And the online licensings of couples, and these couples were Donna Gedge and Monica Montgomery, Sarah Lynn Batt and Isaiah Morales, Gary Bradley and Paul Perry, Bonnie Limitok and DuPont and Lydia Ponton. And this was Hawaii's first civil union ceremonies. And there may have been others, and if you know others that did occur last night, do call in and share it. I think it's we start the new years off. I just know that I look back and we're making strides. We're getting somewhere. We were able to put our thoughts behind us, and even elected an African American for president a couple of years back. And so some of you may argue and say that's not progress, but for me and for the people that I deal with and those that look forward to seeing things, life change, and things better for people, regardless what their sexual leanings or their looks or their ethnicity, they're all human beings, or we're all human beings. And it was very, very good. And I'm actually, I got not even a good hour of sleep this morning. I returned back home about 4 o'clock and then had some things to do to prepare for the show. And I had asked a couple of the couples to call in, but I didn't realize it was going to go so long. And consuming a lot of time and the preparation that they spent all day, and I'm sure they were quite nervous about it, as is any effort such as that. That was quite well, and it was by invite only, and it was done well, and the neighbors, and quite naturally, I understood and appreciate why it was done that way. One, just basically to minimize the number of people, because I'm sure there are a great many supporters out there that would have come and probably overwhelmed the house that this function was held at. But all in all, it is, as you wake up this morning, you see in the paper, the front page, out of the local section, by the way, not the such historical thing, but it's on the local section, so, of the front page. And then there were the TV stations, and it was broadcast about, and I think Hawaii should be quite proud that it still has ability to recognize people and their rights and acknowledge them and do things to facilitate them rather than dictate and regulate. So that was really, really good. And this was in Hawaii 2012 committee put it on, and the Citizens for Equal Rights, the GLBT Caucus of the Democratic Party of Hawaii, Honolulu Pride, Integrity Hawaii, PFLAG was there, Carolyn Galoyu and Michael Galoyu and the father, Michael, and the senior, Pride Alliance Hawaii and Pride at Work Hawaii, and individual supporters. And it was quite well what I was moved by. There were a couple of families there, the mother and fathers and aunts and uncles of and close friends of some of the couples. And if nothing else, what I went away with feeling that there was one family that came from Gilroy, California, and they'd just gotten off the plane. But the fact is they were able to come and support their daughter in the civil union. And I felt that was more moving than most of the ceremony, because, you know, it takes a lot in these days to stand up and openly love your child no matter what, and because we're threatened with scorn or ridicule if we support people that are gay or lesbian or what have you. And but I was quite impressed with that. And they just gotten off the plane and were here, tired eyes and all, but they were there. And so you would have been proud. But 524-1080, I'd like to hear from some of you and share with us, what do you think about this and the actual marriage that will be, and how do we get there? And do you think that we should go, and if, what would you do to support this and what have you? And you know the issue of the churches that went and filed a lawsuit or legal action against this, the civil unions, saying that they would be threatened. And while some say the case was dismissed, to my understanding, it was not dismissed. It still proceeds, but it did not rule. The courts did not rule to intervene, to impact the civil unions that were to take place. And it was something that the lieutenant governor and the governor, Neil Abercrombie and Brian Schatz, sent a special message to them. And so they weren't there, and there were some others. There was Jackie Young and others. But an interesting thing, it was done so well and put together so well that I noticed a number of the neighbors were walking by curious as to what was going on. And that's, I won't describe it as secretive. I would just describe it as a means, and that other aspect of it is that there's some mean-spirited people who would probably show up wanting to protest because they have nothing better to do and or disrupt this gathering that was scheduled. So you do understand, and again, as I say, it was invite only. You had to send in RSVP, and then you would get the actual address and where it was. So I hope one day that just like you and I, if the heterosexuals marry, I don't think they have to worry about people disrupting unless it's some father with a shotgun forcing it as a shotgun marriage. But hopefully one day we would get past that where people wouldn't have to do things in secrecy or with being concerned that they would get hecklers and what have you. So my hat's off to them, and I hope, and I'll, as an individual here, I'll do everything I can to see that they, anyone, get to experience what it is that they want. If they love someone, they should be able to wed or marry or what have you. So that's my opinion, and I know this is a new year, and a lot of you want to get off on a good foot, but it's the human aspect of it that we are overlooking, and it's not going to create a problem. But and the other thing I'm going to talk about is, and back and forth here, if you saw this recent article and the actions of, as you know, we've talked about it here on the show many times, Patty Turullo, the former city employee, who now resigned. And we'll talk about that and also talk about the City Ethics Commission. And I'm careful to use the term city and ethics in the same sentence. You might not know it, but they're not compatible. They don't complement one another, and each of them escape one another. If generally, and this is not for all city employees, but the institution or the city agency or the body is rotten to the core. And when I say that, I think I can give you many examples of substantial nature that would suggest that it is just that. It's rotten, and how do we fix it, or how do we get the rotten apple out of the barrel? But this Turullo thing is, it brings and put places in front of us on the table many issues. Issues about how news coverage handles things, issues about the political manipulation that the, quote, Ethics Commission here, the City Ethics Commission, serves. What role does it really serve? And in my opinion and in my observations and in my experience, the Ethics Commission, the City Ethics Commission, serves only as a clearinghouse for certain politicians, and in this situation, for the Democrat Party. If you're a Democrat, you got Chuck Todd over there sitting the gatekeeper, and you may not know this, but there's several people that have actually come and complained, and I've gotten their complaints, and their complaints were never even treated, and they were substantial complaints. So when you see this issue with Mr. Toto issuing, for example, notifying the public that Mr. Rui is resigning, I'm going to try and share with you just how insensitive or how corrupt that this system is. You take, for example, there were a number of people who filed the complaints and went forward with Ms. Teruya's issues. And she was allowed to resign from the city. And in doing so, she was allowed, they say, on the 19th. But now remember, there were other people that filed the complaint. And they were standing by, had been told that there was an actual contested case that was coming. So these people are on notice that they may have to come in and testify. To show you how cruel this Ethics Commission is and how corrupt it is and how the willingness on the part of the executive director, I don't know his exact official title, I could get it, but Toto, and the committee itself. First of all, it's just an advisory, but when you go there, they treat it as if they're the Supreme Court. In reality, is they can't charge anyone with anything, and whatever their decision or opinion issued, it's really never clearly, it's cloaked in secrecy. They don't mention the names of the party that committed the violation. They go carefully with them. So with this case, now if Ms. Teruya had resigned on the 19th, you would think, because it's a holidays, the complainants, like myself, would have received a letter from the Ethics Commission. And that letter would have come to me telling me that I can go ahead and relax over the holiday seasons and this matter has been resolved and it's no longer an issue. She settled, she resigned, and that would be the end of it. But instead, they had a number of people just sitting in limbo, waiting, not informing them. And but the parties involved, the Ethics Commission, Toto, and Teruya and her attorney, in which you'll find quite interesting shortly when we talk about that, they knew. But the people that filed the complaints were just sitting waiting. And I don't know if you know, but you can't, you're told that if you don't show up and you don't respond to the subpoena or what have you, you could even be prosecuted. And I'll read a portion of that, but imagine that. So you would think the Ethics Commission would practice, well, if they're going to settle out, they would notify the parties or the complainants and let them know. So they didn't do that. Now, the other thing is, look at the timing of this report, how it was released, the findings, or the agreement, the settlement. It's rare that a government agency, and in fact, on many occasions, they would release the complaint and its findings to me first, which we would be. But in this case, Toto elected to send it to the media, as well as notifying myself, right, and other complainants. So you get the feeling, or I went away thinking, this was because it's a holiday and a great many people on travel and they're distracted with gathering food items for the party, the weekend, the New Year's, and you know, you understand. And so by design, this, quote, Ethics Commission released this document and telling and that it's she has resigned, Teruya has resigned. And the bottom line is this release that they presented was gobbled up by the media, except for KHON. They bothered to figure out and try to find out who it was that filed the complaint to get a perspective from the public or the complainant. That's what is generally done. But the other sources grabbed it hook, line, and sinker, and then start to regurgitate exactly what it was that Chuck Todo and the Ethics Commission had disseminated. You getting the picture? Now, most people, when their first reaction is, wow. And I've since then received about 61 phone calls from people thanking me for the work and asking me to share with the other complainants who came on the show and talked about these things openly. And when you hear what was really going on, and a great many of them were calling to thank us for doing this and airing it on and filing the complaint, but they were also wanting to share the other incidents that were not documented, or they didn't have a chance to submit, or that they submitted and they went ignored. And this practice, or how it was handled by Todo and the Ethics Commission, played down, watered down, or diluted the real actions of Teruya, and didn't speak to the greater or the more substantial charges. And so what this document does, if you look at it and stand back, there really is no repercussion, no punishment. And as they report, they being the Ethics Commission, in this advisory, she was really not clearly a city employee. She was a special hire with a personal contract. And you heard me talk about those, and I think that is one of the things that is plaguing the city, the city's funds, the city's politics, the whole atmosphere within the city. I think it's almost a scourge, to believe it or not, because we find time and time again the people with the personal service contracts are really not having any specific task. As we talked about Kurt Favela, we talked about Patty Teruya, and we've talked about others that have. And I was trying to get my hands on the one for Miss Oliveira, Hanneman's special envoy to whatever. And she, I'm told, and I don't have the documents, and I've made requests, so hopefully one day I'll get them. And when we ask about that, I think you recall maybe, they wanted to charge me a substantial amount of money, some upwards of $6,000 or $7,000, just to learn who has the basic contracts or the personal contracts. But anyway, this document, she was simply hired in that capacity with a very loosely worded task. And she was an employee with the city as a community relations specialist 3 in the Department of Customer Services. The city hired Ms. Teruya on an annual personal service contract. And Ms. Teruya's position with the city was also referred to as the, quote, special events coordinator. And as part of her duties as a special events coordinator, she was required to, among other things, plan, coordinate, and supervise the activities and personnel assigned to special events such as the Honolulu City Lights, Flavors of Honolulu, and a variety of ceremonies, dedications, and groundbreaking attendances. Anyway, so these were the tasks that she was assigned to, supposedly. Now, in this document, you know, I'm talking about the corrupt handling, the manner in which Todo and the commission handled this and what they served us. And I'm making the statement and sharing this with you, because I know the details. I know the greater details, because I am the primary complainant in this. And others have more substantial complaints as well. But they didn't really go addressed. And the reason that they settled in this fashion was to protect. And you heard me make that statement about it's to protect the politicians and the Democrat Party members. Well, the reason Tato, in my opinion, as this works out, because they never contacted me again about what it was that I spoke about and complained to them about, and others weren't. They were told it was going to be a contested case, and I'll share with you later some of the letters that were being sent while telling them. For example, just give you an idea, this is what the complainants were in receipt of. The commission has approved Dale Lee Esquire as the hearing officer for the case. Mr. Lee is gathering the requisite paperwork to be retained. No hearing date set for the moment. Now, that's what was sent out at one occasion. Another one, they told the complainants that this is going to go through, and they're going to have a hearing. And it looked like it wasn't going to be settled. But all the while, they were working toward a settlement. The commission, and listen to this letter, the commission decided to postpone the hearing because of logistical issues. We were having some difficulty in obtaining a hearings officer, given the budget and the procurement process. In the meantime, I'm still preparing for this matter as I expect it will not settle. I'd appreciate any comments or revisions to the direct exam draft I sent you. So the citizens, and follow this. This is the most troubling part of this. You have the Ethics Commission in place anyway. So they should be riding the fence line looking for people that want to go astray and operate outside of the rules and in the misappropriation or mishandling of monies or acting unethically. So they're in place anyway. So you would think there would be checks and balances. The supervisors would in the workplace would be monitoring it. And then if that didn't work, then they would monitor and file a complaint or take an action, a disciplinary action, or write the party up or something. But in this instance, none of that happened. So the public is expecting this to happen, and they take good care and be good stewards of our monies and the tax dollars. As you know, they go up, up, and up. And nothing is in place to catch the Turuyas and the Jamilas and others and the Tams and whatever. And when they are caught by the public, whom they're violating anyway, the public then submits it back to this cesspool and say that we want you to look at this and take care of it. So they engage in a practice, they being the Ethics Commission, they take it in and they process it and they sit on it. And the sitting on it involves how can we minimize the political impact to a certain candidate or to this party. So in this report, it speaks, and I'll just paraphrase the actual statements that Tato and the commission, in their opinion, basically alluding to the fact that some of her activity, in paraphrasing, benefited some of the politicians. And so that sounds okay and sounds like they're on top of it, right? So one of the reasons I'm inclined, and I say openly, that this is corruption. If you we hear all the time, we see the movies about cops and robbers and the mafia, and no offense to anyone, but you're looking at the paper mafia here. And you go in and you submit you being the good citizen or the good worker or the good employee, and you submit to the kingpin, who's the gatekeeper for this corrupt entity, the city. And so what happened is that this reference to her activities helping politicians really should have been more thoroughly explained with greater details, like naming names. And that report then would have been more believable, if you understand. That report would have given us something to go on. It would have said this is a means of cleansing this corrupt system. But instead, it engaged in a practice to further cover up what was being done. And so what you see is she violated the use of the emails. There were some 174 emails that were done unrelated to business or the city business, and some 2,000 things, something. The numbers, I don't have them right in front of me, but you get the drift. The issue has been reduced down to she was basically, if you go away with this, using her email improperly. That's the overall, but when I stand back and I look. And so Tato and others should have told you, the public, in this opinion, that the reason that she and she was using and found to be using, as there's emails would show, using her emails or email system, government's email, to disseminate campaign information and campaign activities on behalf of politicians. And if Tato was not in the mode of covering up, he would have named Don Picaro. The documents would have shown that Don Picaro is Patty Turullo's lawyer in this matter. Don Picaro was a deputy city prosecutor. Don Picaro attempted to run for office, if you recall, for city prosecutors, stepping down as a deputy to run. So, Don Picaro, as I shared with you in the past, even attempted to bully me by phoning me and telling me that he was representing Patty Turullo as a client and wanted me to take down checks off of my website that Patty Turullo used to pay her rent with her nonprofit organization's check. Money's from her nonprofit, the Waimanalo Construction Coalition. That was nothing to do with an email. That was a specific act that should have been dealt with, and that's one of many. But Tato should have gone further and let you and the general public know that this is rotten to the core. And he should have explained to you that basically one of the emails, and here's one from Turullo, just to give you a little taste of why he did not want, he being Tato and the commission, did not wish to name and finish the sentence by who it was that she was benefiting as politicians. So this is an email from Patty Turullo to some of the complainants. First, thank you so much for lunch. It was so great to have finally meet you all at and relax and be able to kokua you and the mission of Konishiki's Kids Program. I want to know if both of you are available to attend on March 17th at 5:00 p.m. Oceans 808 Restaurant Row for my good friend Don Picaro. I have some tickets for you. Please let me know. Signed, Patty Turullo, PataturuyuHonolulu.gov. You see, it wasn't just a mere oversight. It wasn't the articulating ability or the capacity or the prowess of Chuck Tato and how well they write. They were steering this conversation and steering the findings and sent out that rag of an opinion to conceal the political violations that were ongoing and the illegal political activities that were being committed by Turuya in this instance. So he knew in this document, and he has this document, and if he didn't have it, he would have had it if he had stood his grounds and prosecuted her or not or went through the contested case. And the other question is, when it's cover-up, we know that he forwarded this matter to prosecutors on Ra Tam. I told you that story. And there's Reen Mancho and others. Why would he allow Turuya, Jamila, to simply pay a small fine or resign? So, again, that was Turuya's email to individuals, citizens. And so that you're probably asking, well, that's Turuya's activities, and what does Picaro come in? And Don Picaro, in my opinion, is a good man. I've known him for many years. But let me tell you something. There's a great divide, and no problem with this. When you step in the arena and you start to violate public trust, there then you can't say good things about people that violate our trust as taxpayers. We trust you with our doing the right things for us and by us. So you heard me say that Turuya had this letter that she sent out soliciting tickets and soliciting participation in the fundraisers at 808 Oceans. Now, that was basically on March 10th, 2010. Remember that campaign they were running? Picaro was running for a prosecutor. And so on April 8th, 2010, here's an email from Picaro. Dear friend, thank you for attending my fundraiser at Oceans 808. Now, this is to the same people that Turuya had invited and told them that she had her the tickets for them and what have you. Thank you for attending my fundraiser at Oceans 808 on St. Patrick's Day. Please visit my Facebook page to view pictures of this event. It was special to me to have my friends and family there because it was my parents' wedding anniversary. They were married at St. Patrick's Church on St. Patrick's Day 54 years ago. My parents have always been the rock of, and on and on. Thank you very much for your support. We have put together a strong team and are excited about the upcoming election. And listen now, at this point, it looks very likely that in July, Mufi Hanneman will be stepping down to run for governor and that Peter Carlisle will be stepping down to run for mayor. Now, Tato, in his efforts, quote, investigation, if you want to call it that, should have, gotten these documents. And I suspect, not only suspect, I know many of these documents he had, and that's why he wrote and was so articulate in how he wrote this finding. He knew who the politicians were that benefited from Turuya's behavior. He knew that. The commission knows it. They have this information. So our team is working hard in anticipation of the possible special elections this September. If you would like to join our campaign team or have any questions, please visit the website at www.picaro.com or email me. We anticipate running another fundraiser in June. If you know of anyone who would like to contribute or to our campaign, please have them send their checks to the Picaro Committee. So, again, This is a heck of a way to start the new year, and I know some of you are saying, not again. Yes, again, because the problem is, I don't see much difficulty in addressing the PCARO issues. But when the Ethics Commission, and again, for you that are just joining me, I'm just being careless about the use of this term ethics. I'm just going to tell you. The Ethics Commission is ethically challenged. And they know that. And they present themselves, and it's a clearinghouse. It's a means of inoculating members of the Democratic Party from prosecution, from scrutiny. And what should be going on right now, the way things are, they should step aside and ask for a special investigator to handle this matter and others. Now, this comes not too short now when we talk about. Let me just give you an example of the involvement of the mayors. Now, you know that Teruya resigned, I said, on the 19th. This is what was of December. This is what was presented by the Ethics Commission. And September 21, 2010 now, 2010, remember, an entire year has expired. But there, some of the complainants wrote to Mayor Peter Carlisle. And basically, September 21st, they wrote on 2010, they wrote to Peter Carlisle, the mayor. Mr. Mayor, I'm contacting you today on a very unfortunate situation that I, along with other community groups, vendors, and chair people, must bring to your attention before you officially take office and appoint your positions. I've attached a letter that I have covered many of the relevant facts in this case and am bringing forward to you in hopes that you can help us with this matter. The letter is long, but there is much to review in such an event as this. And I've CC'd two CEOs of the respective nonprofits that have damaging run-ins with Ms. Teruya over the past year. We have brought our claims to the old city officials and have not been heard. As of yesterday, we received word, although Patty's conduct with the city and the nonprofits, she was still asked to be the head of the special events. We know her actions took place under another regime, but it's now time to change. It's truly time to clean house. Her actions have been detrimental to our communities, and with her, should be a new position. It would only continue to grow. We're asking for an urgent meeting, namely one to assist us in the city support of our events in certain communities. So what happened to that? You know that Peter Carlisle was quite busy with the rail. He didn't have time to address these issues. This was in 2010, a year ago. And this is an extensive complaint that it goes on. Attach our letters and posters of coming. And so the complainants got little or no results. And that is really what was happening. Now, again, and I'll go back to that complaint is. So here's one for you. You recall a gentleman named Mufi Hanneman, and he's now going to be our congressman, right? And Mufi Hanneman, I'm being facetious because I'm sure you probably got different thoughts about that and probably have a game plan to address that. I hope you do. But this is – good morning, caller. Comment or question? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Comment or question?
Hey, I guess a question.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You guys cover, like, corruption, right?
Pardon me?
You guys cover, like, corruption and stuff, right?
Well, we just try to look at it and get it in the right hands. But what do you have? You want to share with us on air or off air?
Off air.
Okay.
So where do I get a call off air?
You can call, leave a contact info at 782-6627.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cox.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that, again, and surely... I'm not going to keep any secrets from you. If in fact this is something you'll be hearing, if the party follows through. But now you see, Mufi Hanneman benefited from Teruya's work, and unfortunately, she writes an email on February 16th, 2010, and basically this is again why. Tato, this is a cover-up. This is why he released it on a Friday. This is why he didn't notify the people that were complaining. He could have told them, you can go ahead and enjoy your Christmas and the holiday. This matter is over. But instead, he kept it close to his chest and released it on a Friday morning prior to telling, and I guess simultaneously releasing it to the complainants, like myself, and the media. So, what gives there? But what goes on, and I'm going to share with you in the next hour on this. February 16, 2010. This is an email that would have allowed Chuck Tato and the Ethics Commission to spell it out which politicians benefited from Patty Teruya's behavior. The violations of ethics. He has this information in hand, but what he presented to the public was a complete whitewash. And he had strong words, if you recall. But anyway, if you would join me back in the next hour, I hope that you can call in and share your thoughts or anything new or talk about something old. But I want to walk through this, and we'll be back shortly. Take care.
Then I found the peace. piece of happiness to call my own. And life is worth the living again. For to love you to me is to live. Oh, one in a million chance of a lifetime. And life show compassion and send to me a stroke of love. All you, a one in a million you. A one in a million chance of a lifetime. And send to me a stroke of love on you, one in a million you, a one in a million you.
Alrighty, that was Mr. Larry Graham, and I'm sure a great many of you know that, and that was dedicated to the people that have just, and the ones in the future with the civil unions, and hopefully everybody will be free enough to be able to do what they wish with other consenting adults. And thank you for joining me again, and as always, it's a pleasure, and I hope you join me in the second hour. We have quite a bit more to talk about, and if not, I'll just play your music. Soothe your soul. It's New Year's. Aloha.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Don't worry. I won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Again, Happy New Year's, and it's going to be all good. I listen to quite a few people and say the world is ending. Well, it might be, but don't wish it on us all. Let us enjoy it, and if you think it's going to end, then just keep it to yourself. Aloha, good morning. Comment or question?
Carol?
Yes?
Good morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of me and from all your listeners, I would like to wish you a happy, happy upcoming new year and look forward to of all your hard work running around and getting documents and all your work that you have been doing. And truly, I just want to take this time and to let you know that how appreciative I am to listen to you, and a happy upcoming new year.
Well, thank you.
And
same to you.
And I wish that I would like to see if someone can put you in something like a midweek in a cover and to write a nice comment about you.
That's
that would
okay.
be nice.
Your comments are just good enough.
Thank you. And
thank
then
you.
I will continue to listen
right.
now. And and happy new year.
Aloha.
Bye. Aloha.
Thank you. Bye. Good morning. Comment or question? Hello? Sorry, caller, if we get disconnected, you got to hold on. Or anyway, again, we were talking about the Ethics Commission and its findings or announcement that in its advisory opinion 2011-8. You can find this information, by the way, at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And we have the actual opinion and or the cover document. Actually, I'll just call this the cover-up document. And you know, you spend this much money in hiring special lawyers and this and that to investigate, and then all that you give the public is a rag of a piece of paper to shelter and inoculate the politicians. Good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Yeah, good morning, Carol.
Good
Happy
morning.
New Year.
Yeah, alrighty.
Question. You know the Ethics Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Who appoints them? Are they appointed by the mayor or something?
Yeah, the mayor and someone else. If someone knows the specifics, I do know that. If you recall, maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, we complained they had to. People that were working on Hanneman's campaign that was chairing the Ethics Commission. So they are appointed. And specifically, I don't know what role, and I can find out for you or for me, actually.
And who can we talk to oversee these guys now? Is it the feds or the state? Or?
I think we need to call in the federal government because this is corrupt. Uh-huh. It's no longer, it's not any longer just simple cover up.
Right.
You know, you understand. You hire someone on a special contract, uh-huh. loosely written, and then you give her free range. You know, to do anything. You don't have any specific measures. And I was always curious, how do they gauge her success? How do they rate her? How do they rank her? How do they, you know?
Right. So who would investigate this, FBI?
I think it just has to have a complaint. The Attorney General, State Attorney General, should investigate it.
Uh-huh.
You know, but probably it would be, someone would go out there and scream defending Hanneman. Well, you see, that's Neil Abercrombie picking on Murphy, trying to make sure Murphy don't compete with him again, or trying to take him out of being a congressman. When in fact, you know how the game's played, huh?
Right.
You'll have that chorus calling up and going, "Why are you picking on Murphy? He's a good man." Well, yes, he is, but the things that he do aren't good.
What do you think about the mayor's race if Caetano goes in? But it's same old, same old.
I what's his motivation, you know?
Yeah.
Is it really what is his motivation? I had questions about his administration. I mean, we saw the same kind of nonsense that occurred under him as on the YAA. Certain friends and certain clans got together, and now he's emerging as a conqueror and a person who's going to defend us for the rail, and which is okay if you're a single item minded person.
Right.
But, you know,
what else he's going to do?
Yeah, what else, right?
Yeah, he's going backwards, too.
it could be the perfect situation. He could have, you know, something got inside of him, and he says, I can fix this. And but in this town, you don't give up your ownership of the heel.
Yeah, but I'm tired of the same old people just running over again.
Right.
No blood in there, so.
Right. Well, there are new people. It's just that we've been tricked in thinking that, well, I'll vote for him because, you know, he's been around a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, right. That's one of the reasons you shouldn't vote for him. And we'd probably come out better by having a person wet behind the ears and mm-hmm. who's timid and learning their way. And when they finally learn their way, they become bosom buddies with the rest of the party. Huh?
Yeah, when Carlisle didn't know where Lulu Ale was, that blew me away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I think he don't know where many places are, but he knows where all the tricks are. I mean, he held those cards close to his chest about the rail, huh?
Uh-huh.
And to date, you know, the real issues as a mayor, I mean, I still haven't heard him comment on the hospitals or anything. You know, you notice you don't see him on major issues.
Yeah.
But you see him, what, sticking a light bulb in a Christmas tree.
Yeah. he's more in the public eye and doing that instead of, you know, doing what he's supposed to be doing.
And what does it say about his respect or his how he value us as a people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was willing to take the mundane issues or the mundane behavior and be glad to be associated with that. But when it comes to ambulances being improperly run and having crises and you're having potholes in streets and then you have, you know, and the homeless concerns and issues, and then you have, you know,
the sewer problem.
The sewer problems and people, workers stealing overtime and dumping into the rivers and cement and what have you. And you notice he's never
addressed that.
Never. And you understand. I suspect he knows what most politicians know, that if it's something negative, you don't want your name assigned to that. But he also took the same playbook that Mufi Hanneman did. If you notice, Hanneman never addressed these things.
Right.
If you notice, Abercrombie is not stepping out there either. He's still telling you how he's rowing the boat.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I don't know.
You think we'll still have the Pro Bowl?
I wish we did. I mean, it seemed to bring money in and it seemed to make a lot of people happy, but, you know.
Governor opened his big mouth. Hey, Carrie, have a good New Year.
Hey, you too, and thanks for calling.
Aloha.
Aloha. Anyway, The issue, I don't know about politics. I try to stay away from it because it's an animal with many heads. But in this town, it's many heads but one brain. You take the orders from the central station. And no matter how corrupt you are, if you are willing to join in chorus and sing for the party, and that applies to the Republican Party too, you're okay. If you speak differently or show a streak of honesty, they don't want you. You know, if you show that you want to work for the people, they don't want you. And unfortunately, this Mr. Looney Tunes here that we've seen now, and I can say clearly, I don't mean to be foul about it, but we've seen Tom Berg's behavior. And if you step back and look at Berg, some of the issues is the kind of issues that we need to attack, and he's good for that, but then he can't separate the mental aspect of it or the emotional. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to wish you Happy New Year.
Well, thank you.
And also thank you for exposing the corruption that's going on, so much of it, in our beautiful state, especially the garbage that gets dumped illegally.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a good guy. You're not on anybody's payroll.
Well,
and you're not afraid. You're not afraid of exposing the. You know, you're not. You're not afraid. Period. And I, for one, and I'm speaking for I know thousands and thousands of citizens here in our beautiful state of Hawaii. I speak for so many who, mm-hmm. who don't call and don't say anything, but I know we all appreciate what you do. And I wish you a happy new year and continue the wonderful work that you do for us.
All righty. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Aloha.
Bye.
You know, the in regards to being fearful, if you are willing to live in a place that is corrupt, a place that will take a policeman who goes bad, I mean, everybody have a bad day. But how they string up the policeman and how they try to pull his fingernails out for what I would consider compared to what when you violate the trust of the people as these politicians and the money they steal and the friends they pay off and what have you. So in a community where we take a policeman and we try to make the best example of him, we try to skewer him, stopping short of sticking a stake in his heart and see him flounder for a while, flap around. We'll do that to them. So, but when it comes to policing yourselves and punishing the wrongdoers in that fashion, they don't carry a badge or a gun. They can steal from you, lie to you, cheat repeatedly, pass millions, give contracts, violating the procurement laws. And no one, the newspaper will just lull you to sleep with one bad cop, gone bad, another bad cop, gone bad. But again, it is the policemen who protect you. You're getting your money's worth there, because I think things would be worse. But they don't have the ability. There should be a squad of white-collar crime, independent, investigating internal white-collar crime within the city and county of Honolulu, where they are independent, operating not under the mayor, not under any strings attached to the mayor or the city ethics commission. And that's what should happen, because if not, I know when I look at the books and I see how the change orders are occurring and how they engage and give their friends contracts, and then they know it's not going to work, but they get the friends in who gets a big buck, and then he turns around having no capacity to perform the work, then farms it out to a lower person or the person that can do the work. So we're paying double, triple the amount that we would normally. So I use that. I'm not defending the policeman, but I just as an example. If you take notice that it's always, another policeman was found to be doing this, and we need to prosecute him and buy. But then we don't project that on the Hannemans, the Carlisles, the Picaros, the Totos. We don't do that. And for Toto, back to that subject that we were talking about, for him to describe Teruya's personality and her stature, it wasn't flattering. But he had such harsh words for her, but he only gave her a lollipop. So, you know, it just the rhetoric does not fit the action, and the action is wanting. Something is missing here. That's why I say to you, there is absolutely no ethic. You could do away with the Ethics Commission today, and you'd be better off. You wouldn't have to fund them. You wouldn't have to be insulted by this fancy writing and this, you know, they've apparently got some wordsmith in the back room that knows how to jam it up and send it out to you. But I left you hanging with that the last hour. I told you that Toto know that Teruya, specifically who she was benefiting for politically and setting up and inviting to these fundraisers who let them come and speak. So why didn't he make a formal statement and forward it to, or have the city prosecutor forward it to, or whatever the proper protocol is, to the campaign spending commission? And I know what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. They're useless too. But at least we get it out there. We go through the act, through the motion of looking as if we're doing something. But when it's all contained within the arms of Chuck Toto and this so-called ethics commission, nothing's going to get done. So I told you that he know that Mufi Hanneman benefited from this. And caller, if you hold on, I'll get with you. Go ahead. You have a comment, question?
Good morning. I'd like to know when the power for the station is going to be increased, because I'm out here in Ninahina and it's still weak.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think soon.
Carol, you know, they said at the beginning of the year, but I guess the beginning could be from now until the end of January, right?
I'm going to ask the folks here, and I'm sure they're about as excited as we all are to get it out there, because, you know, there's good things on air here.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff, and out in Hawaii Kai, they don't even get you at all, barely.
Yeah, and they don't get me at the city hall either. You know, they just don't get it, period.
Carol, thanks. I needed that one. My first real laugh of the day. Thanks, Carol.
All righty. But anyway, I want to just real quickly, in case another call will come, but now we know that he said that Teruya's actions benefited politicians. And she blah, blah, blah. I'm paraphrasing it. And you can get the more specific statements online at carolcox.com. But this is an email from Teruya on her government email now. How are you? Just to let you know, I asked to help a bit on an upcoming spring break. You got to see how she writes. I mean, you pull your hair out. She's nice. I'm also going to sponsor her fashion show event and save her printing costs and with her final product, blah, blah. Mahalo. She is a good girl with a lot of energy, just like you. Please help her grow into this tough industry. So you can see this is a – so I know we haven't talked much, the letter says, but did you want me to start confirming bands and putting together – this is what the party writes and asking Teruya. I think it is too early, but are you working with to a certain person to make arrangements for June? You should also follow up with the other events that are coming closer, Laie, Ala Moana, HBMF, Kapolei, by mailing or emailing them all and blah, blah. Then she goes on in this email, in her official email, are you available on March 23rd? Got a governor fundraiser at Neil Blazer Center. Thought you may want to enjoy coming. And this is the fundraiser held by Mufi Hanneman. And the party that received this, who shared this email with me, also said that they were there serving dinners for this fundraiser. Now, I tried to find the fundraiser in the notice to raise funds on the Hanneman's, on the state website. I didn't find one. Now, it could be there, and I'm still looking, and come Tuesday, I'll try and get it. But again, there's a perfect example where Chuck Toto knew, and has always known who these people are, the politicians that benefited from Teruya's behavior, you see. So he pulled the wool over your eyes as well as mine, and then the so-called media, that to just grab this up, they didn't bother to look to contact anybody. Now, I know they'll claim, well, you know, it's anonymous. They keep their names out of it. Nonsense. I've sent every bit of information, and I've sent alerts to the media for a year and a half on this matter, keeping them apprised. And as you know, the story I told you about one station called Jamila in this process to do an interview and then decided not to, and Jamila then calls me up and says, well, I got a call from the TV station, and they told me you were out to get my head. But they didn't want to do an interview with me or do the story, but they told him that he was I was trying to get his head. So, again, this thing, if you recall, Chuck Tato said that something to the equivalent of it was worse than Rean Mancho, worse than Ra Tam. And if it was that bad, why didn't he seek prosecution? And if imagine, for all of you city workers out there, if you bother to type and go to one URL that is not work-related, as if you'll see here, for example, Ms. Tarui used her city computer to access at least 2,135 URLs were unrelated to her city position. Now, that sounds damning and dangerous, and he was on top of it. But he didn't give you any details about how many emails she sent out soliciting people to participate in fundraisers for Mufi Hanneman or for Peter Carlisle, or how many functions that she set up, and then the sole speakers were Peter and Don or whomever. But he knew that. These documents afforded him that information, and he didn't do that, you see. So we say, oh, it's corrupt here, and I'm going to bother to tell you the details. And it's up to you to accept them, digest them. And some knucklehead had the audacity to say that I'm not a journalist. And I submit that, what is the definition of a journalist, first of all? And secondly, if I'm able, and not being a journalist, and able to find these things and uncover them, and the public is calling me to report this information, and you are professional journalists, why aren't they calling you the professional journalist, the card-carrying, yellow-bellied, the whatever you are, the wordsmiths that you fancy yourselves with? Then you don't have the capacity to look into these things, and they're all about you. They're all around you. All you got to do is take a look. You could be wake up in a sleeping stupor, and you could see the corruption in this town. And yet, you have the time to project on me as a, well, you know, he's not a journalist. Well, then I submit this to you. If I'm not a journalist and I'm able to find these things and deliver them back in the form of this radio show and the website and other sources, and you still don't get it when it's written in the paper, you take it and you write it in such a fashion that you skirt the real issues. Now, you are a professional journalist, and that's what we have, as citizens, have become, learned to expect of a, quote, professional journalist, you see. One who works for the man, who carries a man's words, and then in turn you get paid by the alphabet, I guess, because you're not being paid to dig and scratch and then expose these things. The people like Hawaii Free Press, they do. They go out and dig, and they go out there and report it back. Eon Lin at ilin.net, they go out and pick it up and bring it back to you. Civil Beat is doing the same thing. But the other guys, they're so comfortable. Like Colbert Matsumoto, remember, he sits somewhere up there on the board, and then what is it he said on Hanneman's campaign for governor, whatever the position. I don't have, I've reported it before. So these are your real journalists. So I am glad to never, ever be associated with the, quote, professional card-carrying journalist, because if that's what you are, and this is, if I can find it and you can't, and all you can get is a natural reaction of to turn around and project on me, hey, good thing. You are doing a good job. And that way, we'll get the truth. We'll get it, and we'll get it out there. It may be a slow process. But we, right here on this show and other means, we'll get it out there, because the listeners are very intelligent, and they're sick and tired. I can tell you that they're sick and tired because I hear it all the time. So much for the scarlet letter of the J. You know, it sounds like the romper room of those little kid shows. The letter today is J. J stands for journalism. Yeah, right. So what I would say, get busy, look over your shoulder and tell your boss that I want to go back and do what Carol Cox is doing. Because, see, I can write better than he. I'm a professional writer, but for some reason, can I go meet with him and get some integrity and some balls or something to do what he does? Because, or can I just go with him one day? Can we stop taking his stories and writing them as if we discovered these stories and we're out there being aggressive and doing our job and serving the people as the fourth arm of government? Can I just do that? So for all of you in the professional, the mainstream media, I'm going to talk about like the others do. I'm just going to tell you my personal experience. When you take my work and then you purposely avoid me, you're not even coming near being truthful to the public. You're not serving the public. Because you can't half write a story and not disclose how it arrived, but you present it as, oh, the Ethics Commission, they're efficient, they're effective, they're honest. And you regurgitate everything they say and you don't challenge them, you don't get the other side, you don't ask anything, but you write a page and a half of a story. So that's the danger, but the people out here are listening. They know the difference. I talk to them every day. And what is really going on with this process? We look at, as I said, the 2,135 URLs. Sounds like a substantial violation. But the reality is, it says the internet log produced by DIT consisted of URLs accessed from Mr. Ruya's computer from October 14, 2010 to December 22nd, 2010, but she was working a long time ago, and I told you a whole year ago they were complaining, and I complained before that. And the following sites were most clearly identified as unrelated to Ms. Teruya's official duties as a special events coordinator. For example, Victoria's Secret, Gerber's, Wet Seal, Apple. The number of sexy. The number of visits by Victoria's Secrets, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to hear this, was 27 times. I had 27 hits for Victoria's Secrets in a two-month period. Wow. Sounds like Michael Jackson. Now I want to sing The Girl Is Mine. Or I don't know. Sorry about that. But anyway, Gerber's. She went there 31 times. Now, I don't know if that's Gerber's knives or Gerber's baby food. I don't know. Wet Seal, she went there 33 times. She went to Apple 88 times. So I guess an apple a day does keep the Ethics Commission away. Job career searches, 104. Wow. So this is that one where she, Chuck Tuttle says that she was looking for a job for her boyfriend. And then personal campaign website. Went there 1,603 times in a two-month period. And then the personal email, 365, Gmail, Google.com. And then to the social networking, Facebook.com, 275 times. On your dollar, folks, not my emotions, but your dollar. Ms. Teruya used her city computer hard drive to store at least 23 personal documents. The hard drive produced by DIT contained personal folders from her city computer. 23 documents were most clearly identified as unrelated to her official duties as special events coordinator. Again, political support of Bill 37. So here's a city employee using city work equipment to do Bill 37. How about that? And again, This is over there in the Nanakuli area. Teruya used her city email address to receive and send at least 174 personal emails. You see, that's really, really bad because she should have been prosecuted, and I hope that they have a second thought. But maybe if some of you got a legal mind and tell me, is she immunized, so to speak, from any prosecution now? This settlement, is the stipulation such that she can't be charged? I don't know. I don't know if one can wave the magic wand and inoculate or exonerate you from or clear you of any possible prosecution. But the analysis, and they go on, use of city position and email to provide special treatment to herself when she solicited letters of recommendation from nonprofit organization. Now, that's an interesting one. She would, the allegations here, not allegations, they've written them down. The statement is that she would contact a vendor and ask them to write her a letter of recommendation with glowing reviews and what have you. And then she would consider, or somehow it would be connected to them getting to be a vendor. And it goes on in greater details. But it makes for an interesting reading, this document, but it'll leave you high and dry, so to speak. Because you're going to think, if you read this, you go, wow, this person by now is being shipped off to Alcatraz. But then you keep reading and you learn that it's possible that she'll be back anytime soon because they didn't fire and they didn't place any conditions that she can't apply for a city job or can't be banished from any personal service contracts. And as a friend said to me, this is the first time they've ever seen a pie chart done on a person's illegal activity or unethical activity. A pie chart, folks. You know, like a graph. That the total URLs, work related and unrelated, 4,154. Unrelated to work internet shopping, 118. Unrelated to job, work, career research, 104. Unrelated to work personal campaign, 1,603. So what about that use of public monies in the campaign spending laws and whatever? Why didn't they prosecute? Why don't they file a complaint on that? And so anyway, this entire process is something, it leaves a lot to be desired. There are absolutely, in my opinion, what I'm reading, there are no repercussions. She's just able to walk away. And how about that? She violates public trust. Ethics don't keep up with it. The public files complaints, beg the mayor, beg all parties to take action, get rid of her a year and year and a half ago, like myself, and nothing happens. Then they finally do something, and then the thanks to the public is, okay, she resigned, so because she resigned, we're not going to prosecute her or whatever. So that's why I submit to you that we should, in fact, just get rid of the Ethics Commission. We honestly do not need Chuck Tato. If there's a problem found, we make a law that if a supervisor finds its employees violating the law and do subject them to checks in their computers and what have you. And when they're found, immediately it's a complaint is filed with the city prosecutors or the attorney general's office or the FBI, depending on what. And in turn, you don't need to go to Chuck Tato's office, or if it's not Chuck Tato, someone else. So this is what you need, folks. You can do without the Ethics Commission. I promise you can, because it does. Even if they come out with, if you take, for example, Fred Burgess, they said he had taken money and squandered money and did things illegally and what have you. They wrote a very powerful statement. Mufi Hanneman hired him back. So we could do without. I think if you want to cut out some of the pork, get rid of the Ethics Commission. I kid you not. I would be the last person to recommend that. But what I know about the Ethics Commission, it's absolutely nothing more than a clearinghouse for, in the recent past, with this relationship with Toto and Mufi Hanneman and Carlisle and others. That's all the Ethics Commission and the Ethics Office is for, a clearinghouse, to be able to get the first look at things and quash it and cover it up and not seek the illegal activities from campaign spending activities or unlawful activities in campaign, you know, from these different individuals like Hanneman. So one might argue, well, maybe he didn't know. Oh, he knew because he appointed Patty Teruya. He appointed, just like Tom Berg. While Tom Berg knew of her character, he would just ignore that so that he could get her in and figured she's good on that side of the island and she can help him stay in office. So even when they cut her the budget for her being hired, he was aggressive enough, he and Arnie Martin. So that brings me to another point. There are still left in the closet some very egregious or unlawful behavior on the part of these people, Arnie Martin in his capacity as he served prior to becoming city council. And those answers are yet to be given by him in accounting of the monies. Chuck Toto, you think 2 days of jail for Rod Tam? I believe if based on what I saw and what Arnie Martin allowed to occur with Patty Teruya, Arnie Martin should be wearing, he should look like a zebra today. He shouldn't be wearing a three-piece suit. I'm not kidding you. Because the activities that occurred that he allowed to take place under his watch, having Patty sit on some of the committees that screened for grants and helped grants and then received grants from the benefit package over there at the landfill and all of that. That is another man who, instead of reporting and taking the gavel and say, we call this meeting to order, you should hear jail cells slamming behind him. Because there's absolutely no way he could have allowed all of this to occur when he was in office and not know. He was, at minimum, he was criminally negligent. And then when you try to call him to inquire, it was like pulling chicken teeth. You couldn't get in touch with him. He didn't have the time. And then up popped the weasel, and he's now the city councilman and the chairman of it, by the way. But when is he going to go to jail? You see? So anyway, the this is what they say in this so-called ethics opinion. The stipulation requiring Ms. Teruya to resign from her position is justified. The commission and Ms. Teruya agree to settle this matter. The commission believes that resignation at a minimum is justified under the circumstances. Ms. Teruya alleged violations were numerous and egregious. These characteristics make Ms. Teruya unfit for continued employment with the city. Ms. Teruya agreed to waive her opportunity to be heard at a contested case hearing before the Ethics Commission and resign her post or position as special events coordinator no later than December 31st, 2011. So, again, if he knew all of this, why didn't he show a kindness and a soft side and let the public know that, and then the people that filed the complaint know that this thing was over and it was not going anywhere? You had people sitting waiting, nervous. Well, I'm going to have to testify. I can't go on a trip. I can't do much because they may call me. And if they call me, then I will have a problem and won't be able to get back, right? And then I might be penalized. And you should see some of the letters, how they word these letters. If you're not afraid, my goodness, you would you really let me just this is what they send to the complainant or the witnesses. please be advised, failure or refusal to respond to the subpoena or refusal to answer questions propounded by the Ethics Commission or its counsel, material to the matter pending before such a body, may result in court-compelled obedience to any process of Ethics Commission. Further, the court may require such witnesses to answer questions put to such person as aforesaid and to punish as contempt of the court any refusal to comply therewith without good cause shown. Did you hear those words? Remember what I told you, how fancy they are with the words? Now, this is to, what if you were a person that were, you were not educated or versed in the legal side of things, and you read this. So, in other words, what they tell you, but if you fail to come in and testify, oh, you can be put under the jail. But if you're the person who violate the law that require in the court case, you can just walk off and resign and it's all over. But God forbid you don't respond to a subpoena, you're going to jail, man. You're going to look like Ernie Martin with that black and white suit on. So something's wrong with that. And that brings me to the other point. There is a great degree of intimidation on the part of the and practices of Chuck Tato and that Ethics Commission. What they do is that if you file a complaint, he make you hop through the loops, and then he have you wait for a while. Then he writes you back, well, I need these answers right away, and if you don't do this, and, you know, it's that kind of thing. You would think it would be the opposite. Come in, have a cup of coffee, sit down, let's take care of this and explain to you and not frighten you or threaten you or give you the feeling that if you miss one little matter, you'll be prosecuted, found contempt of court. While Teruya, on the other hand, in this matter, gets to walk away. And you'll probably see her down there at Victoria's Secrets, I guess, because it sounds like that was one of her favorite places. So if you can't reach her by email anymore, because she didn't have her Honolulu.gov email, I hope, just hang around there at Victoria's Secrets. And maybe they'll slip up and tell us some of the other political secrets. But as I told you a long time ago, she said that she would take down Mufi Hanneman and others because she knew so much. Is that why Chuck Tato gave her, that's why he gave her this lenient, this leniency? If so, someone needs to answer for that, right? So the real problem here is we need to clean up our act ethically. And it's not going to happen if we have the public having to report to Chuck Tato, and in turn he sits on it for a while, and depending on who's in office and who he wants to favor, he end up giving you this large document that looks like it's the end of the world, but it's the beginning of a quiet and easy future for the person that violates the public's trust. And the ethics costs incurred in enforcement. Ethics Commission staff has spent considerable time on these cases, conducting numerous interviews for investigation, drafting reports, memorandums, and correspondence, and preparing for the contested case hearing. Ethics Commission staff has spent portions of 66 working days, more than a portion of 66 working days, on these cases. And again, that speaks to my point, what I said earlier. The cost isn't justified. Why are we spending all of this money and then the person go, oh, okay, I think I'll walk away and I'll just resign. And then the only thing that comes out of it is a rush to write this document and get a press release out and talk to the press, who just looks at it and regurgitate what Tato says. That's a good deal, folks, if you know the issue of being held accountable. That's a luxury. I can tell you, I know a lot of people would love to have that relationship where you can get caught with your pants down, and then you just go, okay, I'm not doing anything bad. I'm gonna just walk away, and then the person go, well, what was he doing? Nothing. He said he was doing nothing. And that's the sad part about this. They are violating us. And what they're exposing us to is the naked truth about this town, the corruption, and how it works, and how you can put a Teruya inside office in a special personal contract service, and then benefit politically, where she can work in a community. And I'm sure this is duplicated throughout the state. But she can work and serves as a shepherd to herd in the voters, or to create a climate, or to have a function and only invite Peter or Don or whoever it is, her favorite politician. So something's wrong here, and we need to get to the bottom of it. But I purposely didn't talk about the charter school matter because I'm still awaiting some documents, but I assure you it's going to be good. If you would sit in and hold with me for a while. I've sent out UIPA. I did tell you last week that they claim that they're exempt from UIPA across the board. They're not. They're exempt from 92 and 91 and the Sunshine Act of the UIPA, but they're not exempt from 92F. I've had that confirmed by the OIP. So I should be getting some documents now, and I think we've broken the ice, and let's hope, and then we're going to be informed on that subject. So I hope to see you next week, and I'll talk to you again. Aloha. See me at carolcox.com.
Does it ever puzzle you? Have you asked why you seem to fall in love out again? Do you ever really love or just pretend? What do yourself?
Life I lead, tired I breathe. Tired, counting things I need. Gonna cut out white, and that's the truth. Get a brand new man while I got my youth. Tired of the clothes I wear. Tired of the patches there. I'm tired of the crows I scare. Gonna truck downtown and spin the move. Get short vamp shoes and a new man too. Washing in a tubbin'.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.